This cup's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Three nil.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to American Red Devils Podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How we doing? How we doing? Strong, composed, complete 3 points against lowly Sheriff FC yesterday at Old Trafford, under the lights, Europa League, game week 5. Good match. Never in doubt. You know, they packed it in, but United meticulously broke them down piece by piece. Some good goals all around, some headers, some corner goals. It's been a while since we've seen that. And some runouts from the lads, right? Some young lads. Garnacho getting a start. He looked lively. Ronaldo, he got his goal. He got all 90 minutes. Him and Erik ten Hag have kissed and made up. Lindelof came in and looked good. Shaw continues to impress. Casemiro, what a stud he is. And then now it's about probably the hardest opponent we're going to play before the pause for the World Cup is West Ham, a frisky West Ham side. David Moyes' boys coming up to Old Trafford on Sunday. How are we feeling? How are we doing?
David Moyes' boys. First Sheriff. Who shot the Sheriff? It was CR7, DeLow, and Rashford. What a header from Rashford. What a header from DeLow. Laz did a job. Professional. They acted like professionals. They did the business as what we needed to do. The XG was 3.35 to Manchester United, 0 to Sheriff, possession 74% to 25%. We dominated high line, put the pressure on them. They were hard to break down, but we did continue to create chances and a few great goals from Manchester United. That's what Sheriff should be. You know, everyone, kumbaya, kiss and makeup, CR7. Garnacho to a certain extent based on Ten Hag's comments. I thought it was all around a positive match, one to build on. This is a quick sprint to the World Cup and some winnable games. These are the types of games that are going to matter at the end of the day. The Sheriffs, the West Hams, we got to be winning all of these heading into the break. And then after that, it's a roll of the dice to see how everyone comes back healthy from the World Cup, because United have a lot of players going to be playing a lot of games this year.
It's a good point, and to a certain extent, what happens after the World Cup or during the World Cup is out of our hands, but now it's about controlling our destiny. And this last run out, we got 3 games in the Premier League between now and the break. We have West Ham, we have Villa with a new manager, Unai Emery. Welcome back, Count Chocula. And then we also have Fulham to finish kind of the run out in mid-November. Also, EFL Cup game, also against Villa, and then the honestly, one of the bigger matches, Real Sociedad down in San Sebastian. It's going to be a tough match. We have to win by at least a couple goals. But winnable matches, we need to pick up points, especially in the Premier League. I think it would be awesome if United could head into the break top 4. That would be a lovely accomplishment given how we started the season. But either way, people feeling good. I love people making much ado about nada, about Anthony, like doing one extra spin move, like losing their minds. I've never seen anything like it. The bias in the media, you see it just on display right there. Everybody going out of their way to defend Ronaldo. And then like slighting Anthony because he's razzmatazzing. He's a Brazilian player playing Europa League football against Sheriff in the home fans. I'll tell you what, Old Trafford faithful, they certainly liked it based on the reaction they had.
Look, everyone loves showboating at Old Trafford. You need a few goal lead, in my opinion. You know, 0-0 isn't the time to be showboating. But, you know, everyone hated Ronaldo in the press. I just think we're Manchester United, biggest club in the world. Anyone does anything on the pitch, you're going to hear about it. The good news is when it's nonsense after the game, it's because we won and there's nothing to talk about. So a little loop-de-doo from Anthony. Look, I don't love it because you know, you're not doing anything with that
move. He misplaced the pass after. Which...
No, if Ronaldo would do all the stepovers, there's like some way the stepovers can help you. But there's you're not doing anything with that thing, that little loop-de-doo. That's not beating anybody.
He's buying time. Ronaldo did a lot
but the stepovers and the leg feints, like, that is ridiculous. But you can argue it's like going to fake out the defender. The spin move ain't doing nothing, you know.
Dude, like I said, razzmatazz points. It's good for morale. You're playing a team that, like, what, had 25% of the ball. United were dominating. Let the kid enjoy himself. He's feeling in form. His EPL season, his Manchester United career started well.
He needs like, if he does, like, the rule should be.
You got to make that pass. The pass for the Casemiro into the box. That would have been a good play because he actually was just buying time for him to make the run.
Score a brace, then do it. You know,
and that, just spin, like, around. He just started. Yeah, he should make a meme of himself. Just start spinning around, and that
score.
Should,
if you score like a, if we're up three, you score a goal. You hit a brace. Like, do whatever you want. Like, I don't care. But, you know, in a close game, it's not helping you. And that's kind of anti Ten Hag if you think about it. But, you know, I do. You can't, like, take the flair out of all Brazilian players because then you'd have Fred. So at the end of the day. At the end of the day, you kind of let Anthony be Anthony, and it really is a non-story for us to talk about. But the real story is the matches we have here, like you mentioned, West Ham. Then we have Saucy Dad coming up next week. Aston Villa, then the League Cup again. With these double game weeks, crazy until the 13th of November, and then boom, we are off to the World Cup. And we will be doing a U.S. Men's National Team Takeover podcast with our great U.S. Men's National Team insider, Mike. He'll be jumping on, and then we're going to be headed to the World Cup. We'll be getting you podcasts on all the action with a slight tilt to the U.S. Men's National Team because we are Muppets. We do live in the United States, and we do support the United States Men's National Team. And how they're going to play, nobody knows.
Nobody knows. Nobody knows because... Yeah.
Alex is down on him.
For good reason. We got like a chump of a manager. Solid squad. He's going to bring in like team MLS over to the desert. So whatever. Question marks to be asked. Like you said, pods will be coming thick and fast during the World Cup. We're obviously be slated to cover some U.S. bias, but Manchester United players are going to be featuring thick and fast. I'm sure there'll be drama inside and out. Ronaldo, you know, he'll be stirring up waves, whatever, heading into the January transfer window. But should be an interesting one. Should be an interesting one. Looking forward to the World Cup. We're going over. We'll see how it goes. Excited about it. Excited to see America take on Iran in that game. But for now, it's about finishing
USA
this
England
half of the
as
season
well.
Strong.
You know, USA, yeah. Like, I mean, win a World rival, Cup, maybe. But you got Thanksgiving. You're going to be carving the turkey Thursday. You're going to be watching USA versus England Friday. This is probably a once-in-a-lifetime Winter World Cup. Let's hope they never do it again.
Never.
But you got to enjoy it while it happens, and there's going to be a lot of exciting, like Wales, United States, a lot of great matchups, a lot of great group stages. As soon as the club football is over in early or mid-November and it switches to the World Cup, it's going to be crazy. Who can win it? I have no idea. I think it's going to be a wild card because of the format. Being in the winter is going to drive a lot of people. They only have a week to prepare. They literally usually have a month to prepare in the Summer World Cup. They have a week. I think it's going to be a really strange tournament. We'll see how it goes. Quick PSA for the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils, we are for fans, by fans. That is the motto here. We don't have any commercial sponsors on the pod. We want you to support us on Patreon. That is the way to go so we can not do a ton of ad reads and all that nonsense. If you want to support us, check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. We do a behind-the-scenes episode every single month. We're going to be posting our October episode shortly. We also give away pins, stickers, scarves, shirts, you name it. Check out our Patreon page. Also, check out our store, AmericanRedDevils.store. Scarves, beanies, hoodies. I'm wearing the beanie in the bunker right now. It is chilly here at 6 in the morning on this cold Friday morning in the Bay. So it's beanie season, hoodie season. Pick something up. Everything you buy supports us. Check out our website, www.americaredevils.com. We have great fan-generated blog content there. Alex, tell them about liking, subscribing, and writing reviews because that helps us as well, and it's free.
It's free. It's a great way to support the pod. Helps us get found organically by other fans like yourself. And even better, we're giving away free merch from now to the end of time, all you have to do is write a 5-star review of the American Red Devils podcast wherever you listen, whether it be on iTunes or Spotify, and send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and I will personally pick, pack, and ship some free ARD gear, send it straight to your door anywhere in the world. So we got a review real quick before you play that hot fire Hans and Franz that just grows on you like the bubonic plague, babe. That thing, like, 2 years ago, I didn't want to touch it. Now it just gives me the warm feels. Here's a 5-star review from FC Johnson. Best United podcast around. I found out about y'all's podcast through my brother. We've been lifelong United fans. Now I listen to every single episode. This podcast feels like the conversations we have every day about United. Appreciate that. Love what y'all doing. Thanks, and keep it up. Glory, glory, Man United. Thank you for the great review. Recommend us to your brothers and sisters. Any Manchester United fan that could appreciate a little hot banter.
Yeah, if you don't believe us, this is really a small-time operation.
6 a.m., sir. This guy, and I, cold, cold California morning.
No, and we only grow by word of mouth, really, our social channels. So anytime you could like and subscribe, it goes a long way. And that's what this podcast should be about. It's about that fan take, that biased take. Not trying to tell you we're smarter than you. Sometimes we have bad ones. Sometimes we have good ones. I think that's all fans. We got to go with our gut because we're those Muppets that are just screaming off the couch, and that's what this podcast should be about. Speaking of screaming, maybe a screaming in the Eastern European clubs. Let's go, Hans and Franz. Manchester United 3, Sheriff 0, Old Trafford, baby, under the lights, Thursday night football, and it's not on Amazon Prime. We had Dave Saves, world number one in net, Malacia at left back, Martinez, Lindelof, center back pairing, Dalot on the right, Eriksen, Casemiro, Bruno in the hole, Garnacho finally gets the start. Thank you, Ten Hag, CR7, he's back, baby. Kiss and make up, Antony. New frosted tips. He's on the right, doing the loop-de-loop. How we feel about that lineup?
Strong 11 from Erik ten Hag heading into game week 5. You can tell he ain't taking nothing for granted. Rotate. We'll see. Maybe after the World Cup. But like I said, strong 11. Probably our strongest midfield in Eriksen, Fernandez, and Casemiro. Garnacho, like you said, finally gets a start. Good to see that. Malacia, much deserved, finally get some rotation as well because Shaw's been playing well. And Lindelof, you know, he's next up. He looked, not much of a challenge today, but he has looked good. He has stepped up in Varane's place. Sir, I know you cared about CR7 back in the mix.
Also, from the death, Van de Beek on the bench. He's back.
Back, baby.
How can the Dutch man ignore his Dutch brother? Van de Beek would feature here. Also, you have Palestre, Rashford, Sancho, McTominay, Shaw, Maguire, Dubravka. Quite a bench. There's some depth there, sir, but not at number 9 where we need it. As far as coming out in the first half, sir.
You're getting your beat drop right now.
Na-na-na-na-na-na.
Guts.
Is this the remix?
No, it's playing the next, like...
next Eastern European block, Hans and Franz, another mix here. All right.
Check your next tab.
First half, Sheriff, pack it in from the jump.
What is...
proper European remix. All right, let's get it back to business here. We need some more coffee here in the bunker. Look, Sheriff, pack it in. They're coming, playing away at Old Trafford. They're trying to, you know, play spoiler here. This game was big because if we win it, we clinch top two. Top two means knockout stage football in Europa League, and we don't have to play it till February, which is great. 14th minute, Ronaldo heads just over after some nice work. Ronaldo in the mix. Garnacho looks sharp on the left. This is what we need. We need somebody come on for Sancho in the 60th minute when he's not playing well. He's ready to go. I mean, clearly ready to go. I think he pissed off the manager in preseason.
Yep.
And that's why the manager has been stubborn putting him in. That's Erik ten Hag. Like I said, a little stubborn, but it's paying off. So he's got Garnacho under his thumb now, and he's looking good. 25th minute, Bruno goes just wide from a nice strike. Tried to place it, not quite. 28th minute, Ronaldo misses a tap-in. I actually thought the defender got the final touch here, but Ronaldo, you know how we like to play. If opponent's going to pack it in, he's going to play poacher. He's right there on the offsides line looking for the goalie to spill it or get in behind for a nice cross. So Ronaldo just missed one here.
Yeah, it was always looked like Ronaldo was going to get a good chance at one point. You know, he was coming into form. He needs minutes, ultimately. He hasn't looked as sharp as he looked last season, but the team never left it in doubt. You know, never even gave Sheriff a sniff. They just controlled possession, moved the ball about well. Defense, you know, never gave him an inch. And a lot of those nice in-swinging balls from Bruno on the right side that we haven't seen enough of this season really set up well for Ronaldo, who, like you said, he's sitting at the 5-8-yard line box just looking to smash it in, and he would eventually get his chance to smash it in.
40th minute, Sheriff. They're going to have a chance. This is a great one, curling ball. The striker should have had this in. I think this was right on the money. I think he just mistimed the header, but this was, like, unbelievable. It was the classic cross in Lindelof, like, looking behind him, where it's like the ball's going right to the striker. If that's for Ron, he gets something on it. That's the difference, right? That's the difference you have between a Varane and a Lindelof there. We saw him concede similarly in the Europa League final against Villarreal. Just one thing to think about. When you see this go across the bow and you're like, oh, I think Varane might do a little better there. That's just something to note because those types of chances are going in the Premier League.
Those types of chances are going to the Premier League. You know, it was their only chance of the game, but you're totally right because we got caught out. We should have put a head on it. Their striker should have at least challenged De Gea. De Gea didn't do nothing the whole game. He didn't have it do anything. But most importantly, teams in the next round of the Europa League, including the Barces of the world, the Juves of the world, the Ajaxes of the world, they'll bury those chances. And like you said, Suchek on West Ham, he would bury, like, West Ham will bury those chances. You give him that, they will.
Antonio
they will bury him. Bash it in. So, hey. But like I said, if this was a year ago for United against Sheriff at home, we wouldn't have had as much possession. We would have dominated the game the same way. So this was just like more of the same from Erik ten Hag as he's getting a grip on the side. And it was just encouraging to see.
43rd minute.
Eriksen bides his time. Picks his spot. And Diego Dallo has Manchester United in front. His first goal for the club in European competition. It's taken 44 minutes to find a way past Maxim Kobel. In terms of United's ability to clinch a space in the top two in Group E this evening, then that should help eradicate them.
I mean, look, a great header, brave header from Dalo. He goes in like he's trying to score, something we haven't seen from United in a while. We should be scoring from corners. I think that shows a little bit of grit there. Good for Dalo. Great season he's having. Starting right back at Manchester United, right?
Absolutely. At the moment, arguably Manchester United's the most improved player this season. He has gone from strength to strength. Like, shout out to Dalo. Wasn't sure he had it in him, but he has shown that he's got it. He really does have it. He's improved his overall game. And just a good ball in from Eriksen. We need more of that. We've been a little too clever on all the corners we've had this season, especially in the Premier League, like the lay it off and then get another ball in and look for what, or maybe even a direct shot at the edge of the box. This is just a classic corner, bang it in, more of that. We need more of these goals, and just good to see. So Dalo, well done to him. Highly deserved.
Yeah, and, you know, what a perfect time to score a goal. 44th minute, you go in at half, up 1-0. Second half, double sub Rashford and Maguire come on from Martinez and Antony. 59th minute, Ronaldo with a great chance to score or pass. He blasts it wide, looking rusty. But in the 62nd minute, he would score, but he's offsides. That is kind of the theme this season. But, you know, he's playing that line. He's trying to be a poacher. And in this game, that's what he should be doing. 63rd minute, Shaw and McTominay come on for Dalo and Casemiro. I thought, you know, this is get the lead. This is straight business. make some subs, get some people some time. And then in the 65th minute, Marcus with a nice header.
Shaw, that is outstanding. Finished off by Marcus Rashford, but very much a collective effort. Justifiable applause all around Old Trafford for a scintillating piece of Manchester United play. All started with Maguire, and from that moment on they were moving the ball quickly and eventively. Little dart from Ronaldo, the decoy run, McTominay saw other options available, and Shaw's first contribution since coming on as a substitute was to flight that beautifully onto the forehead of Marcus Rashford.
Look, a lot to do for Marcus. I'm going to disagree with the announcer because the header was a little behind him. The ball was behind him. It didn't have too much pace. And the way he hit the header, put more power on it and placed it perfectly in the net. You know, he did miss a few headers earlier in the season, and clearly he's been working on his game because that was a harder one and a great finish from Marcus Rashford.
Great finish. Great ball in from Luke Shaw. A little behind him, but it was a very nice ball at the end of the day. He's looked good. He is like, you know, the Malacia fire underneath his ass has lit old Luke Shaw in terms of impossible meat pie. You know, we've been hard on him, probably rightly so, but looked good. And like you said, Marcus Rashford with a lot to do in this position. A lot to do. Beautiful pointed header. We need more headers. It shows like a grit in the side. You know, we haven't scored enough headers in this team, and we need a little bit more of that oomph. But encouraging stuff. Great goal from Marcus. Press on from there.
I mean, where's Marcus playing? Right? It's like...
on so, the left.
Exactly.
We got a lot of players on the left. I know Garnacho looks pretty good on the left. Obviously, we have Sancho, but, you know, Rashford mixing in as well.
77th minute, Rashford with another nice shot. Saved wide. Garnacho goes just over, and then Donny Van de Beek comes on for Garnacho. Didn't do much, but it's good to see Donny is alive and kicking because we need bodies going forward for this long season, especially with the World Cup upcoming. Donny, I don't know if he's going to play with Netherlands. I would assume he would, but as a player, you would hope he'd find some form at the tournament, come back. He spent $40 million on him, so the fact that he's like getting some minutes is a good sign. And obviously, sir, everyone's, you know, was waiting for this moment. 81st minute, Cristiano Ronaldo. Let's go.
Step for Ronaldo, lasted just one game. He's 10 minutes away from seeing this one out. Hoping to score. Surely, second time around, he will. Cristiano Ronaldo back from a self-inflicted exile with a Manchester United goal. Banished for his discipline in the game here against Tottenham. Sat out the draw at Chelsea. Reunited with his teammates tonight, and whilst he was thwarted from the header by Koval, he was the most alert in around the front of the goal to pounce first on the rebound.
Great ball from Bruno. Like, Ronaldo's marked by two defenders. Great header. Keeper has to make a save, and he's right there to follow up and poach it with his left foot. Look, Ronaldo, we're going to need him. We don't have another number nine, and we need somebody scoring goals. Like, look how good Rashford looked coming in off the left. Ronaldo at nine. It's pulling two defenders away, giving Rashford space. He's getting shots. He's getting opportunities. You know, he's not going to be pressing West Ham high. I mean, there's going to be games you're going to want to use them. These are the type of games like the Southamptons. So Ronaldo is a card we need to play. Obviously, he's a polarizing figure. Probably will leave in January, but then we can go down that rabbit hole in the news section. But he did a job here. Looked good. He's a threat. They gotta defend him, and then you get more space for Rashford on the left. It's a great 1-2 punch.
Excuse me. If you have Ronaldo around, you want him happy. If he's scoring goals, he will be happy. You know, that's just how it works. And at the end of the day, we have got no confidence that this management team is willing to backfill, if you will, Cristiano Ronaldo. Like they've even said, the whispers in the press is if they let him leave, there's no guarantee that they would sign even another striker, which is like kind of insane. absolutely insane when you really think about it. So at the end of the day, would you rather have... you know, Ronaldo, who's moody and might walk off every 6 weeks, or nobody else behind him? And I hate to say it, you probably want Ronaldo because like games like this games where a team is going to pack it in and you're going to be doing in-swinging balls all day, he's a useful player to have around. He still has a thing or two for some of these younger lads, right? You know how much it meant to Garnacho to play next to Cristiano Ronaldo. He'll be thinking about that for a long time. So that's an interesting one, because like if they're not replacing him in January, I think you want to keep him because you're stronger with him, even if he's a bit of a prima donna.
Exactly, and there was great balance in the squad in possession. You had Garnacho high left, Anthony high on the right, Bruno covering everything at number 10. Eriksen was all over the pitch. Same with Dalot and Casemiro. I mean, box-to-box, classic box-to-box, and Martinez being the low-hanging fruit here, sweeping up everything at the back. United, we imposed our game plan on our opponent, and that is what you want to see. I mean, absolutely textbook stuff for Manchester United. Eriksen, shout out to him. He had another dominant performance for Manchester United, showing that he's undroppable, and with Bruno being undroppable, it's really interesting. Stats for Eriksen, 122 pass attempts, 108 completed. His progressions via pass, 11.2. Progressions via carry, 5.9. I mean, he just dominated. You look at him spraying the balls all across the pitch. That is what provides balance in our attack. To Anthony, to Garnacho, to Ronaldo, to Bruno. I mean, Eriksen, Bruno looking to be world-class midfielders.
It's true. And then you put Casemiro behind him, who like grows by every game that he plays for Manchester United. Also, shout out to Eriksen getting an assist, a good one for Dalot's goal. Hasn't had enough of those. You could say the same with Bruno, partly because the finishing on the other end of it hasn't been good enough for Manchester United. But talking about a player that is needed. Player that is needed is Donny van de Beek, because we need to rotate Bruno and Eriksen. And they play, if they're available and fresh, every game, because they just look so lights out. They are so dangerous. They know how to play. They are a big part of Erik ten Hag's approach and philosophy, especially with Casemiro behind them. Wow, what a player he is. But you'd love to have Donny to bring in against, you know, for the League Cup matches of the world when you're playing an opponent who's not top, top, top. So hopefully he can feature later this season. And if he's not a player long-term at the club, and, you know, maybe he's going to eventually be replaced by Hannibal or the like, you can at least like get some money out of him, because right now, if you're trying to sell him, you wouldn't get much.
Yeah, and a big shout out to Eriksen, Malacia, Garnacho. Those are our top progression players via carry and via pass. Also, Lindelof, McGuire did a job. Casemiro less so, but those are the players that are helping United get the ball forward. Obviously, it was pretty easy to get the ball forward because Sheriff were so deep. Nonetheless, good stats for Manchester United and some. Great player to highlight in Eriksen, free signing, and has been absolutely huge for us this season. Looking at the stat line, 24 shots to zero, 10 shots on target to their zero. So obviously you can see the tilt was there. 75% of the ball to their 25%. Manchester United absolutely dominate. Looking at the group standings here, 15 points for Real Sociedad, 12 for United, 3 for Sheriff, 0 for Ammonia. We have clinched the knockout stage of the Europa League. So next time we play is in February. You get the draw. Obviously, that's rigged. We'll play Barcelona guaranteed because UEFA wants that TV money. Yep. It makes sense that we're going to get Barcelona. Now, obviously, we can only get Barcelona if we're a Tier 2 team. There is the game against Sociedad next Thursday. We have to win by 2 in order to win the group. I just think with all these fixtures at this point, you got to give up on Europa League. What are the odds you're going to hit them for 2 to win when you have a lot of fixtures? Like, again, you have EFL the next Thursday. Players need rest. We're already in. Like, I'm fine with it.
Erik ten Hag. He's a stubborn SOB, and he ain't going to give an inch to this side, especially in the run-up to the World Cup. He knows how important momentum is. And he wants to avoid these fixtures because maybe you miss out on a Barcelona or a Juve or an Ajax who'd be dangerous in that playoff round. Obviously, you also want to save the matches because it's not like the second half of the season is any more comfortable as it relates to like match congestion. So I think he's going to go down there and try and make a statement. Obviously, we're playing much better now than we were playing when we first played Real Sociedad back earlier in the season. So I agree with you what you said, but I know this manager, and he's going to be looking to like bring a really strong 11 down to northern Spain.
I know that is the case, but you should not
Yeah, but he will.
I mean, like, people need minutes. People need a rest. I know he's going to run this team in the ground for the World Cup. That's just who he is. But what do we know? Let's check in with the man, the legend, Erik ten Hag.
I think it was a good win. Of course, you always you want more. I think we create more chances to score more goals. But we create the chances, and that's good. And finally, we score also 3 goals. And I think what's good is we play in opponent's half and we stayed there. And so we attacked well organized. We don't concede counters. We were good in rest defense, defense transition. They didn't come out. Maybe they had one shot in the end of the game. First half, one time they came in with a cross, but for the rest, we only played in their half. And so what I said, we create chances. We scored first of a set play, happy with that. And I think the second and the third goal were really well outplayed goals.
The game allowed you to make a number of changes. Taking Martinez and Nancy off at half-time, was that pre-planned? Was that to rest them?
Yeah, more or less, when we are up. And then was that planned? Martinez, he's booked. He was on the second. So then he was out when he got booked. For a third for the next game, so we know what we have to do in Sociedad. We have to win there and with 2 goals difference.
All right, so horrible audio here from the Ten Hag press conference. No surprise, that is the Europa League theme, but he's wearing the zip-up turtle with the blazer. It's a rough look, sir.
He knows what he's doing.
It's a zip-up turtle. Zip-up turtle. You can wear a turtle with the blazer. Not even, I don't even think that good of a look, because you get the blazer with that little like color on the side, and then you get the zip.
He's working on his stees. I like the turtleneck. He could pull off with that shiny bald head of his. He's finding his feet, sir. He's getting his confidence.
Yeah,
as
Sir
a
Alex did it, but it was like black on black. You know, it wasn't like zip.
New age, baby. It's a new age. The football managers are stunting out on the touchline. You love to see it. Dude, the guy doesn't give an inch. He knows exactly what he wants to see. Even when the team plays well, he knows they can play better. He's always pushing. That is the level of standards that we need back in this club. That is so refreshing. Sorry, if we're just talking about his quarter zips, hey, let us, because that
to be clear,
that's the kind of problems you want to have. Is like, his shirt ensemble was slightly off. Sir. It was no, what's the zoot suit? What was our boy Ole wearing down in Gdansk? Remember that?
The Shire suit. So the worst dressed manager in the league is definitely Pep Guardiola, for sure.
Worst dressed?
Worst dressed is Pep Guardiola, because he wears all like that scarf and all this, like he tries to be like too fashionable. Probably the guy who's got it right is like Klopp, because it's just like basic whatever. It's just like tracksuit, yeah. Like whatever they
all
got
business.
In the trainer. I like that because it's just less. You don't have to like it's less personality. It's just easy. It's just like whatever they got in the training facility, just put on like giant overcoat, whatever. But Ten Hag going with like the blazer zips. It's an interesting look. It's in no man's land. I will definitely say that. Probably the strangest dressed manager we've had in a long time.
Hey. Best manager we've had in a long time. So I don't
give
a shit.
You got to criticize something.
I'm a suit guy. Hey, let us. This is a fan pod of the greatest club in the world. We are all excited about our manager. We should all have opinions about what he's wearing. I like a suit, white shirt, like kind of Mourinho style. But he's a Dutch man. He's going to go for like a little like, you know. He's always going to be big in the sweaters, bro. It's like it's cold as shit up in Manchester.
No,
he's bundling up.
I'm more of I like my manager crazy. And dressed poorly. That would probably be like in the Klopp category.
He's got to look good. Yeah, it's Manchester United. Exactly. We're a class club, dude. We're like Hollywood football. You know, you can't be looking like a trainer.
Look at Belichick in the NFL. He looks Belichick, like a madman with a hoodie. Yeah, but he's good. I like that look. You know, we need that. We need that on the touchline in Manchester. All right, we got a next match. It's Manchester United versus West Ham. The Hammers coming to Old Trafford Sunday, October 30th, 9:15 a.m. Pacific, 12:15 Eastern. Sir, Lifetime versus the Hammers. We've won 71. We've drawn 32, lost 46. The last 5, we've won 4, lost 1. First time we ever played them. February 25th, 1911, lost in the FA Cup 2-1. Coming to this match, the Hammers Conference League. LOL. If you remember how last season ended, West Ham blew it They basically had Europa League in their hands. We were destined to play Conference League, and they lost last day. We lost last day, and somehow we got it. They beat Anderlecht in the Europa Conference League. Then they beat Fulham 3-1. Then they beat Anderlecht 2-1. They drew Southampton, lost to Liverpool.
Should have won that game, Bournemouth. To be honest. They should have beat the Scousers. I mean, not that the Scousers are playing particularly well, but they had them on XG, but they got pipped. So, they're a tough opponent. You know,
they've had a bad start. It's like great, like a good West Ham team last season blew it. Now they're playing in Conference League. So, again, you're playing Thursday nights, and it's not even Europa League. You don't even get the Hans and Franz team. Or I think you do get it. They don't even have the same. They just have the same theme.
They're just like, we're not cutting a new song.
And they had a bad start this season. So, what do we say? Trap game.
This is a trap game.
We need to play well. We need to beat them. They're going to be better than Sheriff. And we're missing our main man at the back line. So, it's going to be really interesting to see how we cope. Little history against West Ham was founded in 1895 as Thames Ironworks and reformed in 1900 as West Ham United. They moved to the Bowling Ground in 1904, which remained their home ground for more than a century. And obviously, from the Olympics, they got the new London Stadium they play at. West Ham have been winners of the FA Cup 3 times, 64, 75, 1980, and runners-up twice in 23 and 2006. The club have reached 2 major European finals, winning the European Cup Winners' Cup in 1965 and finishing runners-up in the same competition in 1967. 3 West Ham players were members of the 1966 World Cup final-winning England team, Bobby Moore, Jeff Hurst, and Martin Peters. The club has a long-standing rivalry with Millwall. If you haven't seen Green Street Hooligans, you should. And it goes into that rivalry deeply and all the blowing bubbles and everything associated with West Ham. And West Ham adopted their claret and sky blue color scheme in the early 1900s, with the most common iteration of the claret shirt and the sky blue sleeves first emerging in 1904. David Moyes, tactical genius, former manager of Manchester United, only lasted the season after Fergie retired, after Fergie told us to back the manager, but Woodward wasn't listening. Woodward botched the transfers. Moyes botched the training room staff. And that was all she wrote. He was out, and he has come back at West Ham United.
I mean, this is the kind of club that David Moyes is perfectly set out to manage. You know, he never could have made it as a Manchester United manager. You know, he kind of showed that from his first press conference, just how out of his depth he was. But he's done a good job. He's a decent coach. West Ham, they have a reputation. They have a reputation. There's a reason they made that movie star. Their fans are like, not the most pleasant crew. Millwall, you know, maybe not as bad as Millwall, but they're up there. And they're a tough team to play. Like you said, Anthony's usually their striker, but Scamacca, the new Italian number 7, has been playing well. Benrahma, Bowen's a good player. And that midfield is very good. Suchek and Rice, obviously, we've been hearing a lot about Rice. If he's an English CDM, you're going to hear about him. And they also got cat thrower Zuma, Cresswell, and Fabianski, classic troll. So it's going to be a great match. United bringing it on Sunday afternoon. It's an important game. Like you said, trap game in every sense of the word. We need all 3 points. Let's go, baby.
David Moyes playing the 4-2-3-1. It's going to be very interesting to see how they set up against Manchester United. Getting into Manchester United's injuries, Varane, we know he's out. Twanzebe is still working inside. He is not on the pitch, hopefully before Christmas. Obviously, he probably won't be featuring at the World Cup. Brandon Williams, he's out. Martial, this one is just keeps lingering on and on and on. And it's almost like Manchester United needs to hire the pod as consultants, because we told them that bringing Tony Martial back is he's always injured and you can't do it. So again, here we go. It's not even the fact that it's like it's an injury that keeps getting worse. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, same thing. Obviously Tony Martial is the big player here. He needs to be leading the line for Manchester United. He looks like he probably won't get healthy fully before the World Cup, because once you come back from injury, you got to get up to fitness. And that's a whole nother challenge. So, and I don't know if he's going to be able to make it for France. So it's going to be really interesting to see who goes, who doesn't go. Now, if Tony Martial doesn't go to the World Cup, I would say big win for Manchester United, so he can have time to get fit, healthy for the second half of the season.
He ain't. I mean, come on. Let's be honest. If he had played the entire season to date and had like continued his form, was at like, you know, 8 goals, 4 assists, maybe he'd have a sniff of the France squad. He ain't gonna get anywhere close to it because the one thing they have, they got strikers, they got Mbappe, they got Karim Benzema. So it's actually gonna be beneficial. Hopefully, he gets like some minutes in the run up to the World Cup and then just gets to hang out. I don't know what the plan is for Erik ten Hag and the boys who are not featuring over those 4 weeks, whether or not they're gonna get like a week off and then do training maybe somewhere warm, maybe in the Middle East.
So they're gonna come hang out with us.
Yeah, maybe. Well, we'll be there. So we'll be there rooting on the USA. Hopefully Berhaver can get the boys up. And we'll also be rooting on all our United lads, as long as it's not England versus USA, because that's important. That builds confidence. I'm excited to see players that have done really well this season, i.e., I want to see what Martinez does for Argentina. I want to see Casemiro playing with Fred for Brazil. And I'd love to see Marcus.
What about Anthony for Brazil?
Anthony as well, but they're like locked in. Casemiro, Fred's going to start every game. Anthony, well, they got more options up front, being Brazil and all. You know, they got a couple of good players. So it'll be interesting. You know, and then there's the Dutch lads. We'll see, sir. I can't wait. World Cup, baby. World Cup.
You know, it's coming, but it doesn't feel like
it's coming. It's weird. It's summer.
It's like such a weird feeling. Very World weird. Cup winter. I'm cold, wearing a jacket, beanie in the bunker. What is your lineup?
My lineup is De Gea and net. I got Dalot, Lindelof, Martinez, Shaw, Casemiro, Eriksen, Bruno. I'm going to do Sancho on the left, Rashford up front, Anthony on the right. I'd love to do Marcus on the left, but I...
Antony. There's no thuh.
You know me. I can't pronounce my way out of a paper bag.
We get comments. We just got to try.
I'm trying.
It's hard not to today. Like, we're from New Jersey. Anthony.
Anthony. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. That's where it comes from. Yeah. I got the same lineup. This one picks itself. Yep. Very rarely do we have the same lineup. But if I'm being honest, Garnacho's not going to start. Ronaldo's not going to start. The front three picks itself. Eriksen, Bruno are going to start. Casemiro's locked on. And that's the best back line we have. So outside of a curveball rotation, this is going to be the lineup. And it does pick itself. Booking the bookies, you want to give us the odds here for Manchester United, West Ham?
United are the favorites, -145 at home, the draw at +290, and the Hammers at +390. Sir, what is your score prediction?
I got 0-0.
0-0. 3-2, Thrilla in Manila, West Ham come out early.
When was
the
last time we had that? Like,
I want it, so I, you know, therefore it shall be. You know, I'm just trying to manifest it in my brain. I'd love to just see us roll the Hammers and just see, like, pissed off David Moyes and we're just laughing all the way. But I think they're going to push to us. They even might get some early goals given that we have no Varane, you know, maybe not as confident heading out on Sunday, but big game nonetheless.
The only thing we got going for us is 9:15 a.m. kickoff. So that means it probably is a good game. If it was like 6 a.m., 5 a.m., definitely 0-0. So we'll see how it goes. Let's get some news. All right, United in the news. We got some news here, sir. From Fabrizio Romano. Fan of the pod, friend of the pod.
One day.
And by friend, I mean we follow him on Twitter and read his tweets on our podcast.
We are.
On director Edwin van der Sar from Ajax. He's like, it's never been that close. He tells the Times, quote, I've had a good relationship with Manchester United. With the Manchester United board, I've had fantastic 6 years in Manchester, but I'm not finished here at Ajax yet. Meaning, he's waiting for the club to get sold, yeah, then he'll join Manchester United. There you go. He's basically like, I'm coming with that consortium if they ever come.
Yeah, because you know what? He's a smart man, and he would be hamstrung if he joined this club and worked for the Glazers and worked with Richard Arnold, so... A couple news about like directors of football. There was the guy Edwards, I believe, from Liverpool, who is looking for a new contract. He squashed the rumors. He's like, I'm actually talking to Chelsea. That's probably more likely because they're going to give me a more senior role. And then you have Edwin van der Sar going out of the way to make sure it is known that, hey, Manchester United have didn't you know they have John Murtaugh as the director of football and how well he's doing? So don't expect this club to like go out of the way to hire competency any more than they need to. They brought in a real deal manager. They supported him, brought in his real deal staff. But like at the end of the day, we've got amateurs at the front of the squad. in terms of the front office, and it doesn't look like that's changing anytime soon. We'd all love to see a heavy brought in from an elite European club, but they'd prefer a yes man that's just going to tell them how much ahead of the curve we are in terms of the investment. We're ahead of schedule.
Mama Murta.
Oh, yeah, ahead of schedule.
Mama Murta.
Oh, that guy. Ears. Like, you got to fly away.
So, look, Todd Boehly bought Chelsea. They
got somebody.
Finally, a rumor to reach an agreement with Lawrence Stewart, who is a technical director of Monaco.
Yeah, there you go.
Not a bad club. Not a bad director who's had a good track record at Monaco. Buying young players, selling big players. So Todd Boehly doesn't mess around. That's what you should do. If you're an American and you don't know anything about football, you need to just. Yeah. It's about knowing what you don't know. It's about hiring the right people to put you in the right position to spend $1 billion in the right way. Yep. And United hasn't done that, and we continue to not do that because Murtaugh was a trainer that came out over with David Moyes. He has no credentials.
Nothing. Nada.
Has not done it anywhere.
Never.
Hasn't done it for Brighton. Nope. Hasn't done it for Monaco. That is going to yield paying, overpaying for Anthony, overpaying for probably Casemiro in some ways. There is some criticism, not knowing who to get, just going to the manager like it's 1993.
Showing up in Barca, that was the con. That's the highlight.
Missing the call with Holland's representative. So, again, you just have to hit the point. Hashtag lasers out. How can you buy this club and not put in like world-class leadership? That is what doesn't make sense. You can have the priority be take out the dividend with Arnold being the CEO, but you need someone who is running football operations who knows what they're doing. We do not have that. We haven't had that. We spent so much money, wasted so much money. Clearly, the problem is as clear as day what the issue is at Manchester United. And even Ten Hag calling the shots isn't the fix.
Nope.
Because Manchester United have to have an identity that is agreed upon by the board, by the CEO, that is aligned with the director of football, who then hires the manager that is aligned with that. Now, I agree Ten Hag style right now is the way we should be playing, but that needs to be put in place over the long term because similar like a GM in football, the GM installs the roster for the long term and the manager can come and go. So we have to be building on the future versus Van Gaal ball chop and change, Mourinho ball chop and change, Ole ball chop and change. That's all we've been doing, and that wastes $1 billion pretty quick.
And it did, right? Even this transfer window, you know, very clear that Erik ten Hag was picking the targets because you saw earlier in the window, like, Murtaugh madness heading down to Barcelona, like, diddling his thumbs, walking down Los Ramblas, like, he had no idea what he was doing, right? Ready to get mugged. And here we are, because you overspent probably by 30, 40, 50 million across Martinez, across Anthony, and across Casemiro. And that money, they're not going to give him more money next year, so... We're going to be hamstrung. We got a top manager. We don't have a top front office. Like, if you're going to have Richard Arnold, who's like as qualified as you or I to be the CEO of this club, then you at least, like you said, have to have a football man, first and foremost, qualified, who has done it at the highest level, even if it's the Brightons of the world. Because you know what? The DOF of Brighton, who's gotten poached numerous times, and I'm sure whoever they use to backfill is much more qualified than John Murtaugh, who's a numpty, who's out, who just, he's so over his skis, and it's so obvious. And the only thing is, like, they just want a yes man that's going to go on those earnings calls and say, like, how well we're doing, and how much money we're spending, and how much we're backing the manager. And you know what? Glazers out. This is why we're Glazers out now until the end of time. That shit has cooled down because United's been playing well, and they spent in the summer. But that's the root problem, and that is the root problem of Manchester United and will continue to be. If he pulls off a top four finish, they ain't spending shit next year. I can guarantee you that.
And look at the Ronaldo situation that we're in right now.
Great point.
He's going to could leave in January, right? Should leave in January. He's unhappy at the club. You should let him go. We're not going to sign anyone.
They said it. They
were actually, no, we're rumored with an MLS striker.
I take him over nobody.
MLS striker. How many
big
teams?
Big MLS guy. I thought you were big
How many teams are signing strikers from the MLS to be locked on
England?
Number nine? How many?
Nobody.
Nobody. Why?
Because it's the MLS.
If you want to sign the MLS guy to be number four, number three behind some world beaters at Manchester United, fine. Give him a shout. I don't mind it. To lead the line. Martial's injured. Get rid of Ronaldo. Rashford has to be on the left. You're going to start MLS.
Cheap.
Give me a Gallo.
Cheap.
Give me a Gallo.
Gallo is good.
Bring him back.
Bring him back.
Like, that is Cavani. Where we're at.
I mean, honestly. Like,
that's Looney Tunes. And that is only driven by... So, if you can't afford nobody, then why did you buy all those players for those huge prices when you know we have a glaring, gaping hole at the striker position? And our manager needs a young striker who can work off the front. You have to plan for the long term as a director of football, not reactionary bullshit that we've seen so many years in a row. And that's what's wrong with Manchester United, sir. I digress. Next bit of news. Rafael Varane is injured, will not play for Manchester United for the World Cup. We did talk about this, but the knee was not as bad as we thought. Shout out to Rafa. Hopefully he'll be back. Hopefully doesn't feature too much in the World Cup. He's getting healthy, you know, because you don't want him going out.
I know.
Like, again, World Cup,
like
players who are injured rushing.
Early. Yep, they always do it.
Rushing for the World Cup, and then boom, does his knees proper out. That is the concern here. As a United fan,
very good point,
how goes the World Cup for these players? It's going to be how goes our season. So we'll be getting you pods during the World Cup. Don't worry, we're not taking a six-week break. Pod never sleep.
That would have been something. Imagine just like, yeah, we're taking off. Watching football. There's a lot of games to watch. Well, we can't stop. Won't stop. This Manchester United podcast, America Red Devils, we never sleep, sir.
Next bit of news, De Gea may have to slash his $375,000 a week wages to stay at Manchester United, with Erik ten Hag still not convinced by the Spaniard, as his scouts eye Diogo Costa and Unai Simone as his successor. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That's right. And there's other priorities, because you know what? De Gea has stepped up. The news, the rumors, is that, like, he's certainly open. He wants to stay at United. He likes Manchester. He's got a good space, you know, kind of settled out for himself. And he's open to taking a wage cut to extend his time at the club. I think that is the right move. Get him on, like, a 2+1 type of contract at, like, 2.25, you know, like, $225 a week. That seems reasonable and, you know, probably fair and justified at this point. And then I would punt this on, like, you know, given the priorities, how much we need a number nine, and arguably, sir, we need two number nines.
No, but
next
keepers
year.
Are cheap, so you
they
can bring someone.
Unless they're top.
We need like a proper
Costa
backup.
Would not be cheap.
So the whole idea is that you bring in one of these guys, you extend De Gea, and this guy becomes the cup keeper, right? And then he earns the spot over 2 years. Like, goalkeepers, for everyone who doesn't remember, it's a very sensitive position at United. And De Gea coming in was a transition, and anyone else coming in is going to be a transition. Like, if you look at Ederson at City, was a transition. It's always going to be a transition. The only one that wasn't is that keeper that I hate at Liverpool. You know, with the girl's
beard,
name, Allison. So at the same time, like, it's most likely going to be a transition, and you want to manage this as a transition. So you need De Gea here, and you want to bring someone else in as a cup keeper. Because if you looked at Henderson, the guy who wears the baseball cap and, like, talks smack about United, like, while he's still under contract with us,
something,
which is, like, not
there.
A good look. Tells you everything you know about him. Tells you he was probably the leaker in the dressing room.
One of the leakers.
Bad guy.
There's a lot of leakers. There's a lot of leakers.
Bad guy. Never met him.
Bad guy.
He's like, where's the, all you?
It's the cap. I'll tell you what.
You
it's
know,
like the,
dude,
it's like
he
the Wigan goalie. Like the Wigan goalie in 05 would wear the cap. And
you know who Dean Henderson is, bro? He had like one good season for Sheffield United. Comes back to Manchester United. Like he's like,
for like
the,
15
like,
million.
Like he's the best player ever. Then he gets the opportunity. Like the role was there. You got to win the role. He did not win the role. You know, everyone, we wanted him to like win the role at Manchester United as a keeper. He didn't. He didn't play that great. So I view a keeper, if De Gea is doing well and we're winning, like someone else has to come take it from him. And that's why you need to have one of these guys come in.
And we have other, like I said, we have other priorities. We need a couple strikers. I think we're good on the wings. Midfield, I think it depends. You know, you could like upgrade the Donny role. You could get another, probably need another center back. So I think the fact is, like, De Gea has shown really good progress under Erik ten Hag. He's come back from that really rough start to the season, as you all remember. I just think there are other priorities ahead of us at the moment.
Yeah, but you go whack-a-mole with Manchester United, you fix the midfield, bloop, it's like, then it's like, oh, no, it's like, you know, we lost Cavani, didn't replace him. Ronaldo wants out, not going to replace him. Martial, clearly, after the last 2 years, is, like, not the guy. Like, not the guy. Great preseason.
Say it again.
Like, he played how many good games in the preseason? Like,
couple,
two? Not the dude. Injured at Sevilla, did nothing. Like, bring him back. He's our guy. Like, really? Like, don't pitch me
good
that.
Good and cheap, sir.
Don't pitch me that.
What's the Glazer motto? Good and cheap.
It's like, it's unbelievable. And then it's like, you want to play 50-plus games without a locked-on number nine with, like, a disenfranchised CR7 who, you know, newsflash, I could have told you. This manager him wouldn't get along. So, like, who is it? Gapco? He would have been cheap. He would have been cheap.
Sesko went for £20 million. Julian Alvarez went last January for £15 million. Like, there are all these players. I mean, speaking of which, Rangnick, another as he should.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Slate him, sir.
Next bit of news, Rangnick. He wanted Holland, Vlahovic, Nkunku. I can't even say the other one. Okay. Luis Diaz and Morata as transfer targets, right? So, Rangnick, he gets it. Saw we needed a number nine, listed all these guys. I mean, clearly, retroactively, it's pretty easy to say, hey, I want all these great players. So you'd have to put a grain of salt. But, like, Rangnick wanted a number nine in January last year. And what did the board do? We could have gotten top four. We probably need another midfielder. We probably need a striker. There are options available. We didn't go for anyone. It's a bold strategy. There's $100 million on the line. I can't get through my head why they wouldn't try to make some of these moves. We came out this January. We want Diaz. Then it was like Nkunku we want. And it's like, oh, we don't want him. We want him next year. We don't want him. And then it's like, Martial's our guy. There you go. That's Manchester United. Why spend 80-something million on Antony and then not have a number nine? You have to make these calls where we need to be plugging these holes. And Rangnick highlighting this just shows you the dysfunction at Manchester United, which is why it's always Glazers out.
And this is what he was good at. Like, he shouldn't have been on the touchline. He should be picking players for us to sign. I know, obviously, some of these names are obvious. Like, Holland. Yeah, yeah, go sign Holland. Go sign, like, a 22-year-old Ronaldo. Like, yeah, duh. But Josko Gvardiol, I don't know who he is, but I bet you better than nobody. Like, nobody. And this was just, like, they didn't want to spend any money. They're like, well, we're waiting for the manager, who they didn't know who's going to be. But
Rangnick was not
a good manager, but he's a good technical director. This is what he's good at. Look at his buys historically. They've been top draw. It's like, let him pick a cheap striker, even if it's not the guy Dusan Vlahovic that went to Juventus, or Anuku, who plays at RB, who's like lights out as well. You know, he would have found a diamond in the rough and at least a punt. And it's like, here we are. Like I said, sir, we have never replaced Lukaku, and I think we sold him, what, 19? Like, it's been a minute.
Before that, I have to 18? Think 18. But last season, you and me went to Crystal Palace away. Crystal Palace away, there was a lot of players who were going to play in that game. It was the last game of the season. There was Europa League football on the line. And the day before, all these players ghosted. Who ghosted that game?
Ronaldo.
Ronaldo ghosted that game. Pogba ghosted that game. A lot of players who said, we're done. We're done. And at that point,
Eddie said he's done.
Yeah. It's like, at that point, I knew Ronaldo was done with Manchester United. Rangnick knew Ronaldo was done with Manchester United. Rangnick, pass that feedback on. And then Joel Glazer brings him back.
Rangnick?
And then Ronaldo says he wants out, which is like not a surprise. He's probably trying to do it in a classy way. Then he has to come out because the board's not letting him leave. And then it turns into this whole situation. And this is why someone's got to get a hold of this thing. And the way you get a hold of it is open heart surgery, get rid of these guys who don't want to play, and get younger players in. That's what we should have done. I'm a Ronaldo fan, but at the end of the day, signing Vlahovic and Cuckoo, and Kunku, I'm dying, killing his name.
Okay. Tweets are coming. Tweets are coming.
Yeah, exactly. But like bringing one of these players in and like letting the older guard go is what we've always needed. We needed that since Rangnick was in charge in January. And for some reason, the club is reluctant to do it. And that just shows you how the board holds us back over time.
100%. There's no doubt about that. No doubt about that, sir.
All right, jumping into fan questions here, sir. We got some spicy ones from the plebeians at Rolling the Deep 1995. Quote, fine performance that showed our lack of clinicality. Again, Garnacho absolutely lights out. The boy should be playing for this first team more often. ... I can't agree with you more. Ten Hag did talk about that in the press. And he alluded to how he didn't have a good start to the season. And, you know, he's shown resilience. So I think Ten Hag kind of puts him under his thumb. I think Ten Hag is like a guy that you piss off. Like, he was late once in preseason and Ten Hag benches him for like 3 months. I think that's literally the deal.
He doesn't give you an inch. I mean, he was late, and then he also walked off in the Rio preseason game with CR7, which I think also pissed them off. And you know what?
Bruno did too, and Delo did as well. So
no doubt, but you know, I'm sure maybe there was other things that happened at Carrington, right, that pissed them off. Either way, he's a young player. His development and transition into the first team squad has to be managed very, very carefully. You don't want to injure him. You don't want to put too much expectation on him. I think we want to see more of him, of course. There are a couple players that could play on the left wing. He looked great, lively, willing to take players on. You know, he has the confidence. He has the swagger. People are criticizing Anthony for that swagger. Garnacho has that. Dude, he's got it. Like, he's a player. He just needs to be incorporated into this team, and he will get minutes. And you know what? I do trust the manager, because it's like, we've had no discipline in this club, arguably for a decade, you know, minus the Mourinho years when he gave a shit until he was just like, yeah, fire me so I can get my payout. But we need that, because at the end of the day, it's like, his front office ain't helping him. He's on his own, and it's like his club. It is his club. It's Erik ten Hag is calling the show, and that's the only way we got.
Yeah, and his quote on Garnacho, when asked what did he do wrong in the early weeks of the season, he said he didn't do anything wrong. It's just kids. So he's young.
He's young. Super young.
But we need to see him more.
We will.
You know, because when Sancho's stale out there on the left, you got to get the kid in. At Ty Kircher, quote, good win. It's a good day when your keeper literally has nothing to do. Job done. Good to see such a dominant performance. Hashtag Glazers out. Great take. At Mike United Mets, quote, wow, from the dark days of Ralph to Ten Hag ball in 5 months. 7 matches unbeaten. Have to go to Spain looking to win the group and avoid the UCL drop downs. We're through the group. Will United win the Hansa Franz Cups? Hashtag Glazers out. What do you think?
I think if we can go down to Sociedad and actually turn the tide, which is, you know, the odds are against us because it's away. They're a good side. They're a tough Spanish Basque side. I think if we can like skip the knockout round or the playoff round or whatever the fuck they call it, I think we can win it. I think if we have to go, if we finish second and we have to go to that like cauldron of, you know, playing Juve, you know, we're going to get Barca. It's going to be like us, Frankie de Jong and Xavi sitting on the sideline. I think it'll be more challenging because there's going to be so many fixtures. And at that point, you know, we should be prioritizing top four because this team has, if we can get a striker, right? I think this team has it. We have a squad deep enough to finish the top four. I just think like Ronaldo needs replacing because Ronaldo wants to go.
Look, Hans and Franz, there's a limit on the priority because if you look at those league games and also like the EFL Cup, like again, I've said it so many times, like if I was a manager at Manchester United and I was looking to get my hands on a trophy, it would be the EFL Cup. Like that is the easiest trophy that we could win and like move the needle. Europa League is going to be a very difficult tournament. And I'm not afraid of any of the teams coming down from the champ. You know, are you afraid of Barcelona? It's like, as a fan, I would rather us finish second and play in Ajax in knockout stage because Jesus Christ, playing like Sheriff. I'm like done with this stuff. I want to be playing
a real teams.
I want to be playing real teams in exciting matches instead of like trying to simp to the final and like lose to Villarreal. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather play Barca like straight off the bat, have a big game,
beat them up,
get some confidence. So I still don't view this tournament as one that I really want to win. I'd rather win. Like, if you were to tell me if you can win a tournament, I'd say FA Cup.
Yeah.
You look at the history of the FA Cup.
We're
you look
in
at
this
what,
year?
Yes.
We're not winning the league. So, yeah, I would take the FA Cup. That's more prestigious than the Europa League or the EFL Cup. I don't agree with you that the EFL Cup is easier to win than the Europa League. You have the Europa League, you have the travel, but EFL Cup, you have City. You have the Scouse Bastards.
Other teams can knock them off. But
it's true.
You also look at the teams coming into Europa League. Like, your argument for the whole first half of this pod season is there's no one in the Europa League. We're going to win it. And
well,
then like now all these teams are coming down. Like,
now
like, you, like,
that was wrong.
Like, wild card.
Wrong
like,
again.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah,
Alex is wrong. Yeah, yeah. We'll get used to it.
Yeah, your theory of, like, nobody's in this tournament. Like, all these teams coming from the Champions League you forgot about.
Wrong again.
At Jamal Mota, quote, sirs, Ronaldo hitting the sleeper. So much good in this game. Two goals from our head, one from our corner. Clean sheet. Garnacho looked good. Anthony entertained. Donny and Harry both doing well. And Rashford back on the score sheet. A Hans and Franz classic. Ten Hag
well said.
Ball is close at hand. And that is what Europa League's about. Just like, you know, adding some seasoning to that soup. That is our chemistry of our team, and we needed it today. So a good check the box for a lot of players, and that's what this competition should be for Manchester United.
It's about minutes. It's about continuing the momentum. Hey, you know, maybe they would have liked to blow this week, but at least we were at Old Trafford, and you got an opportunity for some players to get a run out, right? We haven't seen Dani in a long time. Rashford gets a nice goal. Ronaldo gets a goal. Garnacho plays like 80 minutes, looked great. You know, that midfield continuing to impress. Lot to build on this. This is a big match this weekend. Arguably the toughest match we have before the break in play coming up right around the corner. So a couple weeks, 2 weeks left until our last game against Fulham. West Ham, tough side, but you know, I hope United kind of bring it to them, play that more attacking midfield in Casemiro, Bruno, and Eriksen, and really just kind of pick apart David Moyes' tactical genius. I'd love to see it.
Last one here at whatever clever nine. Quote, Garnacho will be special. So, yeah.
Yep.
He looks a player there. I was ranting on the other pod. He's ready to go. It's like we saw it. Came in. He could start a game in Europa League. Looks like he should be starting. That is not what we have a lot of on the bench, like Palestri. Like, I couldn't say that about him. But you could bring Garnacho 30 minutes against West Ham. He would do damage. He could score goals. Like, he is ready to go. Ready to go, sir. That is it. That is the podcast. We appreciate everyone who listens. American Red Devils for fans by fans, getting you this Europa League pod, 6 a.m. That's how we do it. Pod never sleeps. You want to support us, check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. Our website, AmericaRedDevils.com. Our store, AmericaRedDevils.store. Beanies, shirts, scarves, everything you want. Write a review, like, subscribe. You know the drill. It helps this small-time operation. Give us our top 10 downloads the last 7 days.
Sir, number one, how we doing? Northfield, Ohio, Buffalo, New York, Tallahassee, Florida, Houston, Texas, Phoenix, Arizona, Oslo, Norway, Ellicott City, Maryland, London, England, Bangkok, Thailand, and last but not least, Fargo, North Dakota. Appreciate all the American Red Devils listening week in, week out. We couldn't do it without you. Building something here at OT. Big match on Sunday against the Hammers from London. David Moyes heading up. He needs a humbling, sir. Let's remind him why he's not up to snuff to be Manchester United manager.
Tactical genius, David Moyes, on to the weekend. Everyone have a great week here. Enjoy.
Strong enough to do you anything. But that's it in Chelsea.